إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we'll be taking another chapter from the book Al-Risala by Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd Al-Qayrawani rahimahullah ta'ala. And this chapter is Babun fil Fara'id, the chapter of Al-Fara'id. Al-Fara'id is an Arabic word. The singular is Faridah. So we all know the word Faradah or Fard. Fard means compulsory. So Faridah means compulsory. But the word faradah can also mean to apportion, just as it can mean to make compulsory. When the scholars of al-fara'id, when they use the word fara'id here, they are not really referring to the meaning of obligation. They are referring to the sharing of the bequest, what is left behind by the deceased, is what they are referring to when they say al-fara'id. And this is gotten from the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nisa, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. So the shahid here is that نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا يعني نَصِيبًا مُقَدَّرًا, that is a share that has been apportioned. Some scholars, they take it to mean مَفْرُوضًا means to mean what composite, nasiban mafrudo, that is a share that has been ordained. Now, sharing the bequest of the deceased, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed it in Surah Al-Nisa is compulsory. It's not something that we say, if you like, you do, and if you like, you leave, because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this. Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, these are the bounds of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, يُدْخِلُهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. So whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُدْخِلِهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ, they will make such a person to enter a paradise or paradise under which rivers flow. Khalidina fiha, they will dwell in it forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلْكَ الْفَوْضُ الْعَظِيمُ. So this is a great fawz, triumph. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows it with, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and he goes beyond the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يُدْخِلِهُ نَارًا, Allah will make him enter fire, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, and he will dwell in it forever. He will dwell in it forever. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for him is a humiliating punishment. Now when we look at these verses, whether we take the verse Nasiban Mafruda, dear to mean what? Compulsory, or we take it to be apportioned. Now these other verses tell us that human beings, when somebody dies among them, and the person is a Muslim, his bequest must be shared in accordance with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have different attitudes to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they do not believe in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't believe in those laws. They believe they can also bring their own laws. They can sit down and arrive at a law contrary to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe this is permissible for them. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not binding on them. This type of people, with the consensus of the scholars of Islam, they are kuffar. They are what? They are kuffar with the consensus of the scholars of Islam. That this law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not binding on us. We can sit down and what? And bring our own law. So this is what? Kufrun mukhrijun min al-millah. The kufr that takes one out of the fold of Islam. And this is the type of the kufr that the Yahud committed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is because the Yahud in Medina, they believed that they can bring up their own law. And what? Replace it with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can bring their own law and replace it with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say what? This is the law of Allah. That is, Allah is pleased with this. So, and that's why the one who makes law and believes that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not okay, or is not taking care of the needs of humanity now. So we have to make new laws that will take place of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what? Kufrun, that takes one out of the fold of Islam. And the person is a kafir, kufran mukhrijan anil millah. There is no dispute among the, about this. Now, somebody may believe that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay. And laws, other than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these laws that are contrary to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also okay. Both of them are okay. Both of them are okay. So this is also what? Kufr. So whether he gives precedence to the law of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what? Kufr, that takes one out of the fold of Islam. Or he says, no, both of them, they are what? They are on equal footing. This is kufr that takes one out of the fold of Islam. But if the person says, we know the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compulsory, but out of, you know, laziness or things like that, or self-desire because you want some things, so he doesn't use the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what? This is kufrun duna kufr. It's kufr, but it's kufr that doesn't take one out of the fold of Islam. Why do we call it kufr? This is because anything that is not in line with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a kind of kufr. That is what? That is a kind of kufr in it. Allah says, do it this way. You do not do it that way. You know that this is the right thing, but you don't do it that way. Not that you are opposing it. So there is a lot of what kufr in it. Why if you do what Allah asks you to do, that is what? That is iman. The ta'ah of Allah is what? Is iman. Why ma'asiyatullah is what? Is kufr. But it becomes major kufr when one believes that no, this that I'm doing is okay. I prefer to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, this one that I'm doing and the one Allah said, they are on equal footing. I can take anyone. So this is what? Is kufrun that takes one out of the fold of Islam. But if one believes these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are binding, or because of one worldly thing or the other, one does not implement them, we say the person is committing what? Kufrun duna kufr. Kufrun duna kufr. This is the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and his students. And all the scholars of tafsir, they all have what? Agreement on this. Whether you check tafsir al-Tabari, tafsir al-Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir, when they are all talking about the verse, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ, they will bring this what? This explanation. They will bring this explanation. So when some people came out and they started saying what? There is nothing like kufr duna kufr. So this is what? This is pomposity, claiming that they know better than the companions. They know better than the scholars of the past. How to display? So the scholars of the past, they have consensus on this word. There is what is called kufrun duna kufr. And there is kufrun akbar, or you say what? Kufrun mukhrijun min al-millah. The type of the kufr that the Yahud did, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse on, is what? Kufrun mukhrijun al-millah. Because they replace the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They put another law in place of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are presenting that to the people as what is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who does not present it as the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he acknowledges that this thing is what is wrong, we say the person is what? It's sinful. It's sinful. But we should not be takfir testy. That is to make the person a kafir, because the person is a kafir. Yes, there is a kind of ungratefulness in his action, but not that you call him a kafir. If you say he's a kafir, then it means every act of disobedience is what? Takes one out of the fold of Islam. Every act of disobedience. When you are doing business with somebody, you wrong the person, for instance. You have what? Done something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what you shouldn't do. لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And you have done what? You have eaten the person's wealth with baatil. So you have acted against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means what? You are a kafir. Nobody is saying this except the Khawarij. Except the Khawarij. But somebody may act contrary to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take the issue that is clear, for instance, the issue of riba, for instance. Now, somebody is eating riba. Said, this, I don't see anything wrong in eating riba. There is a difference between somebody who is eating riba and somebody who says what? I do not see anything what wrong with riba. Both of them are what? Ma'asiyah. But one is what? It's kufrun mukhrijun min al-millah. Is that clear? So somebody who is legalizing anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, and the forbiddance of that thing is what is clear. Somebody now comes out to legalize it, the person has committed what? Kufr that takes one out of the fold of Islam. But if the forbiddance of that thing is not that clear, so you say what? He has committed kufr that takes him out of the fold of Islam, because that in itself is not that clear. Likewise, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for somebody to prohibit that thing. something that what is clear in our prohibited. So this watch, this is kufru that takes one out of the fold of Islam. How this is clear. But if something is not that clear, so you ought to exercise caution and patience in what in declaring somebody a kafir. Now there are some issues that ordinarily when one does them, one has become what? Kafir. Like the one who does sujood for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does sujood for a stone or for a tree or so. This is what, this act in itself is what? Kufrun mukhrijun min al-millah. Whether the person legalizes it or not, how you are with me? Whether he legalizes it or not, that act is what? Kufrun mukhrijun min al-millah. How is clear? So we have to differentiate between this. There are some things that are what they themselves are shirkun akbar. There is no need for the person to legalize. The committance of such acts make the person a kafir. Then there are some things that if he does not legalize them, we will say what? He has committed kufrun or shirku akbar. We may say what? He has committed kufrun duna kufrun. Now let's go back to the issue of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tilka hududullah, these are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits. What are the limits? What are the limits of Allah? Huh? That is the laws that Allah has made. Allah has mentioned some laws. This will take so and so, this will take so and so. Then after that, Allah said, well, tilka hududullah, these are the limits of Allah. Wa man yuti' Allah, huh? Whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rasul, or rasul and his messenger, yudkhilu jannatin, he will make him enter at jannah. Huh? Khalidina tajri min tahti al-anharu khalidina fiha dhalika wal-fawzu al-azim. Then Allah talks about the opposite. Wa man ya'si Allah, whoever disobeys Allah. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهِ whoever disobeys Allah وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهِ and transgresses his limits. Huh? يُدْخِلِهُ نَارًا Allah will make him enter hellfire. Allah will make him enter fire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Now the خُلُود here can mean what? خُلُود مُؤَبَّد eternal one. If the person says what, he legalizes what he has done. But if he doesn't legalize it, he believes that what he has taken of the bequest does not belong to him. Take for somebody who is supposed to take half, he now takes everything. Huh? What has he done? He has done zulm. But if he is a kafir, huh? So also is a kafir. He's what? He has committed sin. He's an anti, but it's not what? A kafir. But if he legalizes it, say no, there is nothing wrong. I can't follow what is in the Quran. Then in that case, it becomes what? A kafir. Mukhrijun min al-millah. If people do not see him as a kafir, that doesn't mean he's not a kafir before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a lot of people do not know is that it's not a must that somebody who has committed kufr, you must all agree on the person is what is the kafir. Somebody who has committed kufr that takes him out of the fold of Islam, that everybody must come and agree on him, or he must be treated as a kafir. If he's not treated as a kafir, as long as what? He's a kafir, kufr, and mukhrijan lil millah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your silence over him does not avail him before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is this clear? And if somebody is not a kafir, if you all say what is a kafir, you're declaring a kafir is not what? Doesn't mean he's a kafir before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu would tell the people that the wahyu has what? Has ceased. So whoever displays something of what? Of evil to us, we treat him like that. Huh? And whoever displays good to us, we treat him as that. So for somebody to be doing evil and the person will come and say what? Inna sariratahu hasana. That is, he has good intention with that. No, said what? people punish him with that. وَنَكِمْ سَرَائِرَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We leave him with Allah. Allah is going to handle it. But what we see is what we are going to judge on. So meaning at times you may judge somebody as what? As a kafir. And the person is not a kafir. But one is judging upon what you have seen and the evidence is available. Someone will not be sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you follow all the necessary things. But there are some things that are hidden from you that you don't know. And at times you declare somebody to be a pious person based on what you have seen. But the person is not a pious man based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of that person. But are you wrong in declaring the person pious or treating the person as pious? You are not wrong because you treat him based on what you see. Somebody is coming to the mosque regularly, he's fasting in Ramadan, he's doing this, paying zakat. But inside him, say what? I don't believe in all these things. I'm just doing them so that's what? So as to please the Muslims. Muslim wala kafir? Is he a Muslim? He's a kafir. But to you, you see him as a Muslim, mashallah. In fact, you can do what? A lot of dua for the person. But inside the person, he knows that what is not a Muslim and Allah knows it's not a Muslim. How could this clear? So, but what you are saying in essence that we should differentiate between some rulings that if somebody violate them, they are what? Kufru in themselves. And some things that what? That if somebody violates them, we will say the person has committed kufru that takes him out of the fold of Islam. Though the person is sinful. So, and one should not be thirsty of takfir. One should not be thirsty of what? Of takfir. At the same time, those that you are supposed to call what? Kufar, huh? Don't be stingy of what? Of takfir as well. So, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared kufar, I don't want to declare them kufar. Huh? I hope it is clear. Because they all have what? They all have their rulings. You shouldn't be thirsty of takfir at the same time. Don't be stingy. Of what? Of takfir, where you are supposed to watch. Make takfir of somebody. So the one who does not rule with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of inheritance, he may be a kafir that takes kufra mukhrij ibn al-millah, and he may be what? Just an ordinary asi. When I say just an ordinary asi, that doesn't mean the person is going to go scot-free, he's not going to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless if Allah pardons the person. How to display? Because if there is no usefulness in mentioning it, Allah wouldn't have said what? وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلِهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. If it is useless, if the laws of inheritance are something that you can like, if you like, you can take, if you like, you can watch, reject. Allah wouldn't have said this. So if Allah says this, it means what? It's a plaything. So for Allah to have said it, it means what is something that is serious. And that's why calling yourself a Muslim, you have to submit completely. وَدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. You have to enter into Islam completely. Submit yourself to Islam completely. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The footsteps of shaitan, don't follow it. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Certainly, shaitan is what? The clear enemy to you. So how do you know that shaitan is the clear enemy? Whenever you are taking a step that is contrary to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that what? You are treading the path of shaitan, undoubtedly, in any matter that the sharia has talked about. We are talking about the issue of inheritance now. If you are taking a path contrary to what? The path of Allah, as far as what the issue of inheritance is concerned, you are treading the path of shaitan. It now depends on what the way you have taken it. Have you taken it as something that is not compulsory? I can. So if you take it as something that is not compulsory, who many people do not say you are a kafir? Allah knows what you are a kafir. Because you take it with levity. You don't see it as something that is what? That is compulsory. It's something that if you like, you do. And this is why we have to be very, very cautious and very, very careful when we are dealing with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, when they lose a person, maybe their father or their mother or so they don't want to use the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sharing the bequest, particularly the females, when they are told that this is what they are supposed to take of the bequest, some of them, they get angry. Huh? Somebody tells you that this is the law of Allah, and he shows you the evidence, and you are what? You are angry with the law. Be careful. Huh? You oppose the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are shown that this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this particular matter, you say, don't tell me this, I don't want to hear this law. Huh? One should be very, very careful. If care is not taken, that person becomes what? A kafir. And you still be praying, you'll be doing all this, thinking what? Is a Muslim. But he has committed one of the nullifiers of the La ilaha illallah that he said. So this, you can see in some women. They don't want to hear that thing. That, okay, women are going to take half of what the men take. No. Why this? And that's why in Yoruba land you have what they call what? For your jury. We have to share the bequest of our father, our mother equally. You are a child and also what? A child. The fact that you are a male and a female doesn't mean you should take more than me. So it should be what? It should be shared equally. So one should be careful. If care is not taken, it may be what? It may be kufr that takes one out of the fold of Islam. So some people, they say, no, it is what? Idigi, as we have it in the Yoruba land. That, okay, this wife, how many children does she have? How many children does your own mother have? Your own mother, how many children does she have? So we are going to share it in Idigi. So a woman has only what? One child. A woman has 10 children for the same man that died. Huh? So they will give them, if it is what? The millionaire, the man left behind, they share it what? 500, 500. 500, you and your child. 500, you and your children. So this is what? Idigi. In the Arab culture, before the advent of Islam, or before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was raised as a messenger, the women, they will not give them inheritance. Rather, they will also inherit them. A man dies and he leaves behind a wife. The wife is not going to take anything from the inheritance of the man. She will be inherited. She will be inherited. And what? This inherited. She will not be given anything of the inheritance. And she will also what? Be shared as part of the bequest or the property of the man that died. So all this, Islam has come to us to correct. And this is the law of Allah. And that's why Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ رَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ وَالْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. So these verses, they let us know the position the laws of inheritance occupy in the life of a Muslim. So somebody who calls himself a Muslim must be ready to implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as what this issue of inheritance is concerned, when you are given more than what you deserve, please reject it. Reject it. And when the bequest is not being shared in accordance with the law of Allah, don't say, this is what our people want. No. In the Yoruba land, some Malams are very funny. When they are invited to share the bequest of the deceased, some of them, you ask people, which one do you want us to use? Is it the law of Allah or Idigi or Oriyo Juri? Somebody told me of a Malam that is very popular in the Yoruba land, particularly in Lagos, that he was the one invited to do the distribution of the bequest of their father. And when he got there, he asked the family, what do you want me to do? So if a madam is asking the people, what do you want me to do? Should I share it this way or this way or this way? But if you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu inna kathira min al-ahbar wa ru'ban la ya'kuluna amwala an-nas bil-batil wa yasudduna an sabilillah. Oh, you believe a lot of the ahbar, the scholars and the monks, la ya'kuluna amwala an-nas bil-batil. They devour the wealth of the people unjustly. Wa yasudduna an sabilillah. And they prevent people from treading the right path. Wallahi, a lot of you that are misled today, a lot, I'm not saying all, a lot are misled as a result of what? Of wicked malams. Who, because of what they want to make, they will not be able to tell people the truth. Now, some people are misled because they themselves are what? They are stubborn. They don't want to listen to the truth. Where they see where halqa is being organized, they don't want to sit there. They don't want to sit there. So such a person, you say, what is jahil? But is jahil al-mu'rid? Jahil al-mu'rid is what? An ignorant person that does not want to listen. There is a difference between jahil al-ajiz, somebody who is ignorant, but the person is incapacitated. He doesn't know more than that. If he has no more than that, he would have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than what he's doing. Such a person, his case is different from somebody who's what? Jahilun, ignorant. And mu'ridun, he does not have time for what? For lectures. When he sees where lecture is being delivered, he doesn't sit there. He makes jest of them. So this is the halu, the condition of a lot of the mushrikun during time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who disbelieve, they run away from what they are being warned of. That they don't want to listen to that. So when we are talking about issues, we should differentiate between what al-jahil, al-ajiz, and al-jahil, al-mu'rid. On the other hand, a lot of people, they are what? Jahil, ajiz, or juhalun, ajizun. They are ignorant people that are what? That are incapacitated. They find themselves in the hand of scholars who they think what to guide them. But those people, they are also what? They are not interested in guiding them. They are interested in what? In extorting money from them. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the scholars of the Jews, that what they are ripping people out of their wealth. So the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on inheritance, we should take them seriously. We should take them seriously. Spread this in your families. Teach this to your wives, teach these to your children, and what to remind them of this often and often. Because Allah wouldn't have said, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ نَارًا. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. This is my blessing. Allah says this with respect to what? The issue of inheritance. And that's why we have to take it seriously. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes this for us in some verses of the Quran. Some verses. So when you look at those verses, very few verses. But most of the things you want to talk about inheritance, they are what? They are there. At times, it surprises me when I look at those verses. Very few verses. And if you want to start the explanation of those verses, you write what? A volume. So when you say so-and-so person is going to take so-and-so, where is the evidence? You just pick the verse. So-and-so person is going to take so-and-so, where is the evidence? Pick the verse. And the verses are not many. And any person you want to give what a share of inheritance, you just go back and you see what? See it in the verse. Or in some of these verses. So the Shaykh rahmahullah ta'ala says, وَلَا يَرِثُ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ إِلَّا عَشَرًا. He said, those that we inherit among the men are just 10. When we talk about inheritance, we have men, we have women. How many among the men can inherit a possibly? He said what? Asher. And start mentioning them. Al-Ibn, the son. Wabnul Ibni, the what? The grandson. The son of the son. Wa in Safal. Ibn if is what? Is below. Huh? Maybe Ibn al-Ibni. Huh? Ibn al-Ibni. Like that, even if it was, if it is up to 5, 10. Huh? So it says what? Wa in Safala. Wal Abu the father. Wal Jaddu lil Abi, the grandfather. Wa in Ala. Even if he's what? Huh? Above. Huh? For instance, my father, his own father. Huh? His own father. Like that. So they are all what? They are all grandfather. So son is what? His son. Wa in Safar. Then grandfather is what? Grandfather. Wa in Ala. How this is clear? Wal-Akhu, and the brother. The brother may be a full brother. That is the same mother and the same father. And maybe what? A half brother. We have two types of half brother. Maybe paternal half brother or maternal half brother. Wabdul Akhi wa in Ba'ud. And the son of the brother wa in Ba'ud, even if is what? Is distant. The son of the brother is representing the brother. Wal Am. The uncle, the paternal uncle. Wabn al-Am, the son of the paternal uncle. Wa in Ba'ud, even if is what? Distant. Wa Zawj, and the husband. Wa Mawla al-Ni'ma, and somebody who sets one free. These are 10 people, 10 men. That when you see a man inheriting, you find a man amongst these people. Now, to make things clear, at times, all these people, they may not be able to inherit at the same time. There are those that are called what? They are those that are what? Zawul Furuj, and there are those that are Zawul Asoba, or you call them Asobat. Zawul Furuj are those that have their own shares mentioned. They have a portion share. When we talk about shares in inheritance, we have what? We have Nisfu. What is Nisfu? Half. Then we have what? Nisfu. What is Nisfu? One quarter. Then Nisfu. 1/8. Then we have Thuluth. One third. Then we have what? Sudus is what? Then we have what? Which other one? Thuluthan. Huh? No, Thuluthan. 2/3. What is half of Thuluth, 1/3? 1/3. Then if you multiply 1/3, you multiply it twice by 2, what do you get? 2 over 3. Huh? Is it clear? So, a way of memorizing the shares is this. You say what? Half. And it's half. Half. Its own half. Then, the double of that. I hope it is clear. So, you take half and you start bringing it down. So half, you have what? 1 over 4, and you have what? 1 over 8. The half of 1 over 4 is 1 over 8. The half of 1 over 2 is what? 1 over 4. If you take solution 2/3, the half of 2/3 is what? 1 over 3. Then the half of 1 over 3 is what? 1 over 6. So this axis. Then there is one that is called Sulusul Baki. Huh? A third of what is left. A third of what is left. So this and Siva, they are what? They are mentioned in the Quran. Sulusul Baki is not mentioned, but it is what? Somehow mentioned, because you have Sulusul in what? In the Quran as well. So the author here mentions those men that we inherit. You said that those that what? They are the Zawul Furuj. Those that they will take shares, they already have what shares mentioned, maybe half, maybe 1/3, 1/6, maybe half or what, or 1/6 or 1/4. So they already all have what is mentioned, 1/6, 1/6, half, or maybe 1/4. So they already have what is mentioned. So these they are called what? Zawul Furuj. Then there are those that are Asoba. That are what? Asoba. The word Asoba is plural. The singular is Asib. Asib. An Asib is somebody that has the right to take everything. The Asib is somebody that has the right to take everything. In the absence of what? The old Furuj. Those who will take their own shares, if there are no more, and everybody has taken what? Their own shares. Then something is left. So he will be the one to take everything. The person is called what? Asib. At times, the Faradiyun, the scholars of Ibn Faraj, they will use the word Asoba. Huh? The word is plural. Asoba is plural of Asib. But they use Asoba for what? Singular. Then they now pluralize what? Asoba to what? Asoba. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that among the men there are those who take what is left. Among the men there are those that have their own shares. Out of this clear. Now, for instance, I'm just saying this to make it clear so that we'll not just be reading, we just have the idea of it. The husband is not among the asobats. The husband of a woman. The wife dies now, and she leaves behind a husband. The husband is Zufarti, is somebody who has his own share. And if all things be equal, nobody can stop him from what? Inheriting. Nobody can stop him from what? Inheriting the wife. Nobody can stop him from inheriting the wife. So, the same thing, nobody can stop the wife from inheriting the husband, all things being equal. Because there is something that is also important that you ought to talk about. What then? That is what is called hajbu. Hajbu is prevention. It's prevention. There are two types of prevention. There is what is called Hajbu Hirman and Hajbu Nuqsan. Hajbu Hirman is when somebody is prevented by a person or by an attribute in him from inheriting completely. Hajbu Hirman is of two types. Somebody is prevented by a person or by an attribute in him from inheriting completely. So something that can prevent one from inheriting completely is what the scholars call what? Mawani'u al-hirth falls under Hajj with Hirman. Take for instance, somebody who is not a Muslim cannot inherit a Muslim. Or somebody who is a Muslim cannot inherit a Kafir. La yarithu al-Muslim al-Kafir, wa la al-Kafir al-Muslim. A Muslim does not inherit a Kafir, nor does a Kafir inherit a Muslim. How would this play? So another thing is what? Ariku, that is being a slave. A slave does not inherit his people, and they cannot inherit him. Huh? Then the third one is what? Al-Qatlu. Killing somebody that one can inherit. So these three they will mention as what Mawani will eat. Inshallah, we are still going to discuss it. Now, Asbabul Irs. What can make one inherit another person? Why can I inherit you? Why can you inherit me? Why can't I inherit you? Why can't you inherit me? So that is what is called Asbabul Irs. The reason why you can inherit somebody. There are three reasons. The first one is Az-Zawjiyyah. Whether you are the wife or husband of the person. If it is proven that this person is a wife of this person, then he has the right to inherit him. Or he has the right, she has the right to inherit him, or he has the right to inherit her. As long as what Zawjiyyah is what is established. Huh? If marriage is established, that both of them they are what? Now somebody who has divorced another person irrevocably, for instance. Huh? You know, at a point in time, they were what? Husband and wife. So they can't bring this one because the divorce has been what? Huh? So, Zawjiyyah, that the person is his wife. Somebody does Aqdul Nikah today. Aqdul Nikah today. And in the night, for instance, or some hours later, that person dies. Is Zawjiyyah established? Yeah. You've not done Walima to Nikah. Huh? Is Zawjiyyah established? Yes, it's established. They've done Aqdul Nikah. The father says, I'm giving you my daughter as a wife. And the man says, what? I accept. And maybe two witnesses are there when he's saying that Zawjiyyah is what? Established. So for you to say this, the Nikah has not taken place yet, wallahi, it's a big sin. Because there are lots of things that are attached to that thing. Islamically, that woman can inherit what? The man, if the man dies. And if it is what? The opposite. The man can also what? Inherit her. Because Zawjiyyah is what? And before they have to do, she will what? She will do Idda. A lot of things are attached to that. And that's why some of our brothers, they play with it like this, that no, you've not done Abdu. Ya Salaam. What you are trying to say is that what you want to go and give another person's wife to another person. Because when you say they've not done Aqdu, they've not done what? Aqdu. And they've done Aqdu. Meaning you are taking another person's wife to marry to another person. Because the Aqdu that they did is not in line with your own what? Your own Jama'ah interpretation. Which is contrary to what? The interpretation of all the Muslims. Because the scholars, they don't have what? Any dispute concerning this. Once Aqdu is done. There is a difference between Aqdu and what? Walimatul Nikah. Two different things. They may do Aqdu today and Walimatul Nikah does not hold until what? After a year or 2 years. As you have it in the case of Aisha of the line, yeah? The Aqdu took place in Makkah. And Messenger of Allah did not what? Did not consummate the marriage until she got to Medina. And it was after consummation, the Salaf would do what? Walima. Yes, you can do Walima and what? You can do walima afterwards, after amp immediately, before consummation, no amp. But what is best is to follow the way the Salaf did it. Consummation. After consummation, walima comes. This is the way Messenger of Allah did his own. So amdu may take place and later the walima comes. So if it is established that the amdu are taking place, the issue of inheritance and things like that, as if there is going to be, the man says, I'm no more interested. It's not that the man just run away from her. There must be what? Proper talak. And the man cannot say, I'm not going to that man again. I've decided I want to take another man. You can't take another man because that amdu is a notch. That you, if you want to do it, you have to follow the normal procedure. Now these are things that are very, very important that we take with levity, but they are laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second thing is what? The first thing is al-zawjiyah. The second thing is what? Al-qaraba. Blood relation. Blood relationship. Are you related to the person, the father, the son, mother, brother? Who are you? Daughter to that person. So if you are any of these, then you have one of the things that can make you watch an edge. Then the third one is al-wala, that you are the one that set the person free. So if the person dies and there are no people to inherit him, no zawj, no qaraba, then you are the person that is entitled to it. So these are called what, asbabul irth, things that will make you inherit the deceased. Either you are his zawj, or you are his zawja, or a zawj, or you are what? You are qarib, maybe a son, a daughter, father, mother, things like that. Obviously. Now this asbab, they are established. Some say, alhamdulillah, I'm the son of so and so person. I'm the son of that man. That means I can what? I'm the wife of that man. I'm the husband of that lady. I'm the brother, paternal brother, a full brother, or a brother, paternal, or what? I can inherit that person, alhamdulillah. Now, alhamdulillah, don't forget there is what? Mawaniu is. There are some things that can make you not qualified to watch. Originally, you are qualified, but there are some things that what may not make you qualified to inherit that person. And those things we mentioned, one, ikhtilaf deen. Maybe they are what? This is a Muslim, this is. Yes, father, son, but this Muslim, this non-Muslim. Husband, wife, this Muslim, this non-Muslim. I hope it is clear. This brother and brother, this Muslim, this non-Muslim. So he has what? Sababu lil irth. At the same time, there's what? Another manual lil irth. Or maybe the person has killed the person that is going to inherit. Yes, it's the father, it's the son. But because he wants to inherit the person quickly, this our father has been living long. Even his great grandchildren are dying. So let us. So and what? They kill the man. If it is confirmed that he's the one that killed the man, so he will not inherit. But he's the son. Yes, the son. But he has what? He has been prevented by one of the mawani'ul irth, which is what? Al-Qatil. And Messenger of Allah said what? La yarithul qatil. The killer does not inherit. So we are still coming to that, inshallah. Then the issue of what? Arik. The father, the brother, the son, but the person has been a captive. He's a slave. So he cannot inherit them. Now some scholars, they bring some other reasons, making it maybe about 7, other than what this 3 that is known. So when we look at them critically, you can see what is placed under this 3. So some will say what? Some they will say add some other things, like who can tell us? Now? Now, there is something that they try to the brink. I'm trying to recollect the form of the way they will just put it. Now they say what ish lak. Ish laka, that is ish. Here means what? Adamu. Adam what? Huh? Not existing. Now if the person does not exist, that means you can't say what? The person is the son or the relative of that person. So it's like what, it can fall under, no, not cotton, that is under, maybe the person is a relative, or the person is maybe one of those things, it can fall under that. So they will say, for instance, now the person must not be a zan, walad zina. So they say what, ish laka rizkun, something like that, ish laka rizkun. That is, leave, you have what, risk, you have provision. You just try to bring it, to just coin it like that. So in the laka, in the shin, in the ish, mean what, shak, you have doubt concerning that person. Is that person, the person, does he die before the person is going to inherit, or the person dies before you are in doubt? Huh? And before you can say somebody is going to inherit another person, you have to be sure that the one is going to, the heir comes, the survives the what, the one is going to the deceased, and it must be confirmed that the deceased dies before the heir. So if there is shak, you are in doubt whether this one dies before, this one dies before, you are in doubt. So in this case, they say there is no inheritance. So it's like what? Their relationship is not really established. And that's why some scholars will not bother to mention things like this. Then the lamb in Laka is what? Li'an. If a man and a woman, the rain causes on themselves, because the man accuses the wife of zina, and this is not proven, the woman does not accept that. So, and the man insists, Islam will say what, both of them should curse themselves, and what, they will be separated. So when they are separated, if there is a child, that the man is saying this child is not mine, how is the man, the child going to inherit the man, can inherit? So li'an, they will say what is. So this is also telling us that what, the nasab is not established. So then ish laka ish laka rizkun. So the risk there, the raw is what, risk, we have mentioned that before. Then the zayin there is what, is zina. Then the kaf there is kotlu. So ish laka risk. So if you cannot say this person is living before this person, after this person, so they try to make it about what, seven, but one can still make do with the three that you are familiar with, so which is al-qatlu, al-riku, and ikhtilaf jil. So we know there is what, there are asbabul irf, and there are what, mawani'ul irf. So don't say, but I'm the child of so and so person, and so and so. No, if you are a Muslim and the parent is not a Muslim, you have a sabab of irf, but there is a mani'. There is a mani'. Now, secondly, I said what? When we talk about hajbu, prevention, it may be what? Hajbu hirman or hajbu nuqsan. Hajbu hirman, we said what? It may be irman, the waswin, or irman, the shaksin. Now, one may be prevented from inheriting somebody that ordinarily you are qualified to inherit the person. But if there is somebody that is stronger, or somebody that is closer to the deceased than you, that person what? Will prevent you. Somebody that is what? That is closer to the deceased, or somebody that is what? Stronger than you. Take for instance, when the author mentioned what those who can inherit now, he mentioned 10 people from the men, Ibnu and what Ibn al-Ibn. That a man dies and he leaves a son, and he leaves a what? A grandson. Is the grandson going to inherit? Why? What if somebody argues he's also a son? So it's also what? A son. He's a son, he's a son. Up to the 10th generation, right? Son. They're all what? Sons. So we say what? Yeah, they have what? In jihad, in terms of the size, they're all what? They're all equal yet, in terms of what size. And it's important, let me quickly mention this. For the men who want to inherit, as the author has mentioned, the men who want to inherit, so we have to look at which one comes first. I'll ask back which one comes first. So the men, the closest person to the deceased is the son. The son. Followed by the father. Followed by the brother. Followed by the uncle, the paternal uncle, not maternal, the paternal uncle. Exactly. Followed by the one who set the person free. How many are there now? Five. If somebody dies, this is the way you look at it. Who is al-asbaq, the closest person? So the son is the closest. The son is the closest. Then the father. Then the brother. Then the paternal uncle. Then al-mu'tiq, the one who sets one free. So we are looking at the one who is asked back. Then it remains which one is what? Akrab, the closest now. They may all be the same level in terms of what? Maybe all of them are children. All of them are what? Sons, as we have said now, as we have it in this case. And Ibnu and what? Ibn al-Ibn. Ibnu, son. Ibn al-Ibn, also son. So which one comes first? The real son, the first son, comes first. Because it's what is the closest to the what? How it is clear. So when we go to the case of the grandfather, we may have what? About 3, 4, 5 grandfather. We will pick what? The one that is closest to the... So when we go to the brother, we have the brother and we have what? The son of the brother. The son of the brother. So if the brother is alive, the son of the brother can come and watch. So this is a kind of what? Hajbu. That is, the closest will block the one that is watched a bit further. So this is called what is Hajbu. Hajbu Herman. Now, the father, will block the brother. The father will block the brother. If the father is alive, no brother of the deceased can inherit. No brother. No brother can inherit with the what? Likewise, no brother can inherit with the presence of the male child. No brother can inherit. But will the brother, the child, the male child, will he prevent the father? No, he can't prevent the father. Rather, it will reduce the inheritance of the father. So this is Hajbu Nuqsan. Hajbu Nuqsan. It reduces what? The inheritance of the father. But it can't block the father. But the father is present, is life or living, blocks the brother. So just take it as a principle. So those who are fighting for the bequest of their brothers, if the father of that brother of yours is still alive, that is your father, is still alive, you are not entitled to anything of that inheritance. And if the male child of that man, the deceased, is alive, you are not entitled to a cover of what? Of his inheritance. Because the son has blocked you. Because the son is what? Is asked back. No, not stronger, no. As bad, that is, it precedes. So we are talking about three things now. Al-Asbaqiyya and what? Al-Aqrabiyya and what? Al-Aqwiyya, Al-Quwwa. So when you are talking about the one that is stronger, you are talking about, this is a brother, for instance, now. A full brother and a half brother. A full brother and a half brother. A full brother and a half brother, but partner. Which one is stronger? Full brother. So full brother, with the presence of full brother, half brother, partner, half brother will not inherit. What about the maternal half brother? Umar Badam. But this is not correct. This is not. Inshallah, we explain that. The paternal half brother, the paternal half brother, yes, the full brother will block it. But the full brother, will he block the maternal half brother? No, he won't block it. He won't block him. Because the maternal half brother is among those who are Ashabul Furuj, not among the Asabas, not among those who pack what is left. So the full brother is among those who pack what is left, if there is no anybody to inherit, and it's not prevented completely, and will pack what is left. Likewise, the paternal half brother will pack everything that is left, if there is no, if it's not prevented, as there are no what else. How to explain? But the maternal half brother is not somebody who can pack. He can't pack. It's just like the wife taking what something, the husband taking his own share. So he has his own share. So as you shall read, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll stop here today to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with either to Allah wa sallallahu ala nabi Muhammad wa ala sahibi ajma'in. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
This clarification I want to start to make with regards to the issue of takfir or not takfir. People are getting it wrong. Maybe in just one sentence, we try to summarize the issue of takfir. They are saying that it's frustrating for people, is it kufr? And also, for people who say that if you eat or you drink Coca-Cola and all of this, is that one? It is also kufr. Those who are committing kufr, because Allah has not made it impermissible, and they are making it impermissible. That also kufr. And also, is it kufr akbar if someone says it's not permissible to eat rice or bread? All of these things are. So
the people can just help us the same. Now, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah. Now, the issue of prostration, is it kufru or not? Now, scholars, they differ concerning the issue of prostrating for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Particularly, if it is for human being. Now, if one prostrates for a stone and things like that, so this is what is kufr. But if one prostrates for a human being, like oneself, is it kufr? Some of the scholars said it is kufr shirk. It is what shirk. Particularly for those who are doing it with the intention of veneration, as some people do for their sheikh. Shaykh Islam ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Tibb al-Nabawi, in Zad al-Ma'aj, mentioned something of this, that some people, they will be prostrating for their mashayikh. And the type of prostration they are doing, you can't tell them not to do it. They believe it's something they must do for their mashayikh. So they owe them in high esteem. It has turned to a kind of worship. So, Allahu A'lam, maybe this is the area that he's looking at it. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala sees it as something that is what is haram to do. For you to prostrate or bow for somebody, particularly bowing, that it is haram. As for prostration, putting the head on the ground. So this, they see as what shirk. But bowing for somebody, this Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah said, what is not something that is what is good, it is haram. Now, Lajna Da'ima also said it is what is shirk to do that. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said it is haram to do it. Some scholars, they will say it is what makruh to do it. And that's why if you go back to this book, Al-Musawa Al-Kuwaitiya, so talking about Al-Inhina, bowing, they brought the aqwal, the statements of scholars on it. But if one is bowing with the intention of what? Veneration. This, there is no doubt it is what? It is shirk. But if one is bowing with the intention of greeting, is this shirk or not? So this is what I'm saying, that's what scholars they differ on. Some said it's what is haram to do that. So this one should go away from. It is what? It is haram. Even those who say it is makruh, the way they are ash on it, you see that the kara they are talking about is what? Kara tahrimiya. The way they are ash on it. Like An-Nawawi, for instance, in his book Al-Adhkar, likewise Riyad al-Salihin, he was ash on it and he called it makruh. And he said, وَلَا تَكْتَرَّ لِمَنْ يَفَعَلُ مِنْ يُنْصَرُ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ. Don't be deceived and carried away by those who are doing it, who call themselves scholars. So is that makruh that we say it what is that has the rule of Jaiz in it? No. How it is clear. So likewise, in fact, almost all the scholars, they kick against it. As-Sawi in his Ashia on Jalalain said it is what? It is haram for you to do that. Likewise, Al-Qurtubi, all the scholars of Tafsir, they kick against it. Umar Sheikh Adam in the Yoruba land, he wrote a book, At-Tawadu fi Islam. He condemns bowing for somebody as what, as a way of greeting. He wrote another book which is called Al-Islam wa Taqalib Jahiliya. In that book, he also condemned it. So we should leave the issue whether it is shirk or not shirk. It is something that is wrong. Go away from doing it, wallahu alam. Now I'm saying somebody should not drink Pepsi or Coke. That the person is making what Allah has not made haram to be haram. Yes, because there is no clear text. Now you can't bring evidence that Pepsi, for instance, or Coke, that is something that is dangerous for our health. If it's because of that, then we say, what, you are right. Because Allah said, وَلَا تُلْكُ بِعَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى تَعْلُكَ. But you can't bring what the evidence that this thing is what is dangerous for our health, that we should not drink it. If you take it, you are taking poison. You can't bring the evidence. Now you can say, well, taking much of it is not good. Just like taking much of everything is not good. So, but for you to say it is dangerous for our health, you can't really what establish that. So now for you to not say, okay, it is the enemies of Allah that are producing Coca-Cola or Pepsi and things, so go away from it. The next question is, who are you? To say what, we should go away from it. Are you legalizing? Is it that anything that the enemy of Allah produce, we must go away from it? If that is the case, so many things. The microphone that you're making use of, go away from it. Your laptop, computer, all these things, go away from it. Don't use all these things that the enemies of Allah produce. So this man of Allah, there's no evidence. Messenger of Allah related with the Jews. It bought from them. It sold things to them. So why are you not making life difficult for yourself that you must not buy anything that the enemies of Allah that they use? This, there is no any evidence. So if I thought somebody is going to say that in order to inflict a kind of harm on the enemies of Allah, it will be the end of the stage who has studied the economic implication of the statement. But you are not head of state. You don't occupy any position. Just a layman in the society. Same people should watch, shouldn't buy so and so. Who are you? Do you know the economic implication of your statement? You don't know. So those who have those things, they should go and watch, throw them away. So and what? They become what? Poor. Without any evidence that says what, they should throw it away. So this is what? It's something that is very, very dangerous. So the person, if he insists on that, this is what kufr that takes him out of the fold of Islam. Allah Alam. Subhanaka Allahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.